Welcome everyone to the very first episode of the Fantasy Sport Hideout. Today we've got a lot of stuff to do today, but before we get into it, I just want to tell you a few ways that you can see or hear this podcast. So first off, I just wanted to say that we're on YouTube. So what we're going to do on YouTube is for your benefit. If you want to hear just a certain part of the podcast because you don't have time to listen to the entire thing, we're going to have on YouTube, we're going to have all the different segments of the podcast. I'm also going to have some stats, some graphs, some pictures to help you out. And the entire podcast is also going to be on there. But if you want just a certain part, you can find the video, and there you go. Also, if you have any questions, then our email here is thefantasysporthideout@yahoo.com. We don't have a website, so it's at Yahoo right now. And we're going to be on all sorts of podcast apps. Obviously, if you're listening to this, then you're probably on a podcast app. So, just if you want to do any of those things, just hit them up, and they're for your benefit. So, without further ado, let's go to the hideout. We're going to start off with some off-season news now. We're going to do a news segment at the beginning of every single episode, but this one's going to be significantly longer just because we've got a lot of stuff to go through, so we can just set the precedent for where we're at. Today is February the 27th currently, so not everybody is signed and everything, so just setting up where we're at. And so all of this stuff is as of today. So the first thing we got is the Japanese phenom Shohei Ohtani makes a big splash and signs with the Angels. So the best in the Western Hemisphere and the best in the Eastern Hemisphere are now on the same team. And man, what a signing for the Angels. But I've got a few things to say about this, some fantasy implications. Shohei Ohtani is not going to be as good as he was in Japan. We just see it time and time again where when they come over here, they just don't adjust right. We kind of saw it with Tanaka. Tanaka was absolutely dominant in Japan. He's still very good, but, you know, he's not that top ace that you're going to draft in the first or second round, and I don't think Shohei Ohtani is going to be that either. So he's kind of got a limited ceiling just because he's probably going to be pinch hitting and not DHing. That's what I've heard. So his batting is not going to be worth very much, and his pitching and everybody else's in the Angels rotation is going to be limited because of their six-man rotation. They're not going to be getting as many starts, which means they can't get as many wins, strikeouts, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's really big that he signed. Great for the Angels, but don't be too excited as far as fantasy for Ohtani. So that's great for him, but not really for us. Second piece, we got the Miami Marlins completely cleaning house. Stanton, Gordon, Yelich, and Ozuna all gone, and Real Muto gonna follow soon, so, because he is the only one left. We're gonna start out with the Stanton deal and get into kind of what that does. So, Stanton to New York, that is massive for New York because it gives them the two biggest power bats in the entire major league. But as far as fantasy goes, Stanton is probably going to be around the same if he's able to bat like last year. The RBIs will be about the same. Of course, they'll have Sanchez, they'll have Judge. If Bird works out, then they'll have Bird. But really, he had a really good lineup. Just these four guys right here, Gordon, Ozuna, and Yelich, they were all very productive, particularly Ozuna. So, really, the RBIs will probably be about the same. More runs, maybe, maybe, just because he'll have probably a better bat batting behind him. But Ozuna was a stellar bat last year, so really just about the same for Stanton. But it does give the Yankees a lot more power. Next, we're going to go to Ozuna and him going to the Cardinals. Big, big, big signing, or big trade, I guess, for the Cardinals, because it brings them back to relevance, because they were falling off, and getting Marcelo Ozuna could elevate them back into contention for that division, although it will be a very strong division. It's big for him. He's going to have a small decrease in runs and RBIs, though, because the lineup there just isn't as strong as it is, as it was in Miami. Next, we're going to stay in that division as Christian Yelich goes to Milwaukee. And this was a massive deal at the time. About an hour and a half later, though, it didn't really make sense. But Christian Yelich to Milwaukee completed their outfield and gave them a big bat for them. He's young. He's going to be a stud if he isn't already. And but again, probably a little decrease there in the runs and the RBIs. But for the most part, Christian Yelich is going to be a top bat, especially for Milwaukee. And then we've got D. Gordon now going to Seattle. And this is going to help people on Seattle, because D. Gordon is fast. He'll bat first. And the people behind him, if they get a single and he's on second base, he's going to score. So the run production, or the RBI production, as far as them, is going to go up. Now, as far as D. Gordon, honestly, probably about the same. Batting first, it doesn't really give you many RBIs, but the runs should be about the same. Because he'll have Cano, he'll have Segura, he'll have all of them, so, and he'll have Cruz, too. So, about the same as far as D. Gordon. But the Miami Marlins now, anybody on their team is slipping into irrelevance, because there is nobody there. Potentially the worst lineup in all of baseball. I feel sorry for JT Realmuto, although he'll probably be dealt. He has asked to be dealt. So it would be big for his value if he gets dealt. If not, then his value plummeted after all of these trades went down. So that's going to do it for the Marlins. But we're actually going to stay kind of a similar thing and tell you why the Yelich deal didn't make sense after about an hour and a half, really. Because Lorenzo Cain signed with Milwaukee. So Cain is now joining Yelich in Milwaukee. And it helps both of their value, because Cain, if he would have returned to Kansas City, he would have minimal value at all. And Yelich gets somebody, gets a batting buddy, and Milwaukee is going to be good this year. Trust me, Milwaukee is going to be good. Big signing for Cain. It's going to help him just a little bit. And he, overall, this is going to help the Milwaukee players, except for Domingo Santana. Because if Braun keeps playing outfield, Domingo Santana just got booted to their fourth outfielder. And it takes away all of his fantasy value. Now, if Braun goes to first, then it actually helps Braun and Santana, because Braun gets the position eligibility, and Santana is still batting in this stellar lineup. But if not, if Thamesten stays at first base and Braun stays in the outfield, Santana is pretty much irrelevant. So that's why it doesn't really make sense, because they just got two outfielders, even though they already had an outfielder. Keon Broxton, he was done as well. So basically, they clogged up their outfield with the signing of Kane and the trade of Yelich in the exact same day, almost the same time. So kind of left us confused, but big for Milwaukee, I guess. Next, we have Eric Hosmer signing with the Padres. Now, this was big for many reasons. First off, basically solidifies that the people in Kansas City are done. And I highly doubt that Moustakas is going to sign back with Kansas City either. So Kane just left, and now Hosmer has signed with the Padres. Now, this is going to hurt Hosmer's fantasy value just because he's batting in a worse lineup. But the Padres could surprise this year. They have Margot, and they have Shaw, and now Hosmer, I mean, and throw on that Myers. Myers is going to be moving to the outfield again, I would assume, because Hosmer will stay at first base. That makes the most sense. That's the only position he plays. So now Hosmer's value kind of decreases just because he's kind of in a worse lineup, and the Padres field is a big field. So the home runs really not going to be there. And he kind of lost some of his sparring partners in Kane and Moustakas, but he does get Myers, he does get Shaw, and then Margot and Renfro if they turn out well. So the Padres could surprise, and they got much better with this signing. They are no longer the absolute laughingstock of the MLB as they were last year. Next, the Houston Astros trade for Gerrit Cole. And me, as an Astros fan, I'll go ahead and say it. I'm an Astros fan. I have been. They traded for Gerrit Cole, and at first I didn't understand it. But when you really look at it, and you look at Houston's ability to help pitchers and everything, Gerrit Cole benefited enormously from this trade, because he has so much more run support than he did in Pittsburgh. Not only that, Houston now has a stellar five. And if Cole can return to form, they have the best rotation in baseball, no doubt. This doesn't really affect any of the Houston bats or anything, but it does affect one man, which is Brad Peacock, because Brad Peacock really had the opportunity to be a starter for Houston, but he's going to be moved to the pen once again, which he is very good in the pen, so that's good for Houston. And it also affects Colin McHugh a little bit, even though he's been very injury-riddled. But if he could return to form, then they may have to consider moving Morton or McCullers to the pen to make room for McHugh. So really, this kind of log-jammed the starting five rotation for the Astros, which they have not had this good of a rotation in decades. So solid, solid for Houston. And one man that I do want to throw out there is Colin Moran. He was sent to Pittsburgh in this trade. He had nowhere to go in the Houston system. This gave him some value if he can be the starting third baseman for Pittsburgh, because he's a very underrated player. He did very well replacing Correa last year. As Bregman moved to shortstop, he played third base. And if Moran can win that starting job, then he may be someone to look at in the deeper leagues. Next, Boston finally gets J.D. Martinez. And this was a clear counter to the Yankees getting Stanton. And this will help Boston tremendously, and it will hurt Arizona. JD, as far as he goes, probably, first off, probably a less home run total just because of the green monster out there, but really, honestly, he'll probably be about the same. He hits a lot of home runs to opposite field, and obviously there's a short fence out there in right field in Fenway. So that'll be a little less home runs, but as far as the RBIs and actual runs go, it'll be about the same. About as good of a lineup. He also is not in Chase Field anymore, which those of you who don't know is almost as good as Coors Field as far as home run balls. So that's also a reason that his home runs will go down, but again, the runs and RBIs should stay because he's going to be making solid contact. This also helps all the Boston players because probably their runs, their RBIs are going to go up just a little bit. So that'll help them. Next, we have Yu Darvish signing with the Cubs. This was overblown in my opinion. Good for Darvish, but he's going to a worse team. If he had been able to stay in LA with the Dodgers, that would have been his best case scenario. But his numbers are still going to go up from last year because if you remember, he was with the Rangers for a long time last year until he was traded at the deadline. So, and when I say at the deadline, I mean at the deadline. So his wins probably going to go up. But still not the best case scenario. And a lot of people say that this made the Cubs the absolute favorite. I don't see it as doing that. Because they're going to lose Arrieta now that they've signed Darvish. And in my opinion, Arrieta could easily be better than Darvish. Darvish, though, is still very underrated because of what happened in the World Series, but fantasy baseball doesn't take clutch into account. So as long as you're smart with when you're starting him, you will be perfectly fine and enjoy his strikeouts, enjoy his ERA and all of that. Doesn't really affect anybody else in the Cubs organization other than now Arrieta is going to be going to a different team for sure. Next, we have the Rockies signing Wade Davis. Not that big because they're going to lose Greg Holland, so they'll be a little bit better just because Wade Davis is a top closer. Is a top closer, but this does mean that the Cubs are losing him. And it's really good for the Rockies because their bullpen is where they're going to find their strength as far as their pitching, because as we know, pitching in Colorado just doesn't work out very well. Not that important. Then we have Morrison signing with Minnesota. This will help Minnesota a little bit just because they get a DH or a first baseman however they want, and it's going to help Morrison because he is going to a better lineup in Minnesota. So because Tampa Bay was just, that was a rough situation, and it's gonna get even rougher in just a second. So next we have the San Francisco Giants get the franchise faces of two organizations. So if we stay in Tampa Bay, they get Longoria, which was a massive steal for them because Longoria is a very underrated third baseman. He is still a top star. And then they get McCutchen as well, which is going to help their outfield in San Francisco. The only person really that he could be blocking is Steven Duggar. But really, it's not. It's much better for them to have McCutchen in there instead of Duggar. Just because Duggar isn't a crazy, highly touted prospect. So great for the Giants, great for anybody in the Giants lineup, great for both of them. Both of their stats should go up as long as if they bat about the same as they did last year, then their stats should go up. then we have probably the biggest situation in all of the offseason news, which is that tons and tons of players are still unsigned. As you see, we've got, you know, Jake Arrieta still unsigned. Where he goes, nobody really knows. I've heard Milwaukee. I've heard Washington. And then you've got Lance Lynn. He could be going to Seattle. It doesn't, you know, they're really not sure. He could be going to Milwaukee. He could be going to Minnesota as well. You also have Greg Holland, which we just talked about the Rockies losing because they signed Wade Davis. You have Mike Moustakas, as I mentioned earlier. And then this is the biggest steal of the free agency, in my opinion, because he was so good until last year, and people just completely don't value him anymore, is Carlos Gonzalez. Carlos Gonzalez is good. He had a rough year. A very rough year. Carlos Gonzalez has a chance to make a difference in some organization. As far as where he goes, not really sure. I've actually heard Houston might go after him, which would put them through the roof. There's plenty of other places that he should go. Carlos Gonzalez is a big one. So that's actually gonna wrap it up as far as the news. Now we're gonna go into my top 20 of my fantasy baseball player rankings. We're actually gonna do my top 50 overall, but we're gonna do part one, which is the first 20. I'm just going to go through my top 20, and then I'm going to highlight just a few players and where I have them. In the next episode, I'm going to do players 20 or 21 through 50, so that'll be just a little bit longer than this one. But this is part one of my fantasy baseball player rankings. So in the top 10, we've got Mike Trout, Jose Altuve, Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, Clayton Kershaw, Trey Turner, Charlie Blackmon, Bryce Harper, Chris Bryant, and Mookie Betts. Obviously, Mike Trout, number one. Obviously, Jose Altuve, number two. They are the best two players in baseball. But we're going to go through, and I'm just going to throw out just a few people that I have in here so that could surprise you. So first off, we have number four, Paul Goldschmidt. So first baseman for the Diamondbacks. His stats are probably going to go down just a little bit as far as runs and RBIs this year, but he is still worth a top five pick. People are blasting it out of the water. Oh, first basemans aren't that valuable anymore because there's so many of them. You shouldn't draft them. Paul Goldschmidt is a top five player in fantasy. He's going to get you stolen bases, which first basemen don't get. He's going to bat 300, probably. He could easily get 35 home runs, and his walks, he's going to be a top five player in walks, probably a top five player in runs as well, and his on-base percentage is going to be over 400. You cannot ask for much more in a player than those stats. That's what I have projected, and he is going to be just another stellar year for Paul Goldschmidt. That's how it works. He is just that good, and he is worth a top five pick. I've seen him as far down as 11 now, which I just think is an absolute mistake and an overblown idea that his stats are going to take a drastic drop, and he's not valuable anymore. Next, we also have a surprise, which is I have Mookie Betts at number 10. Mookie Betts was arguably the best player in fantasy 2 years ago. And last year, he wasn't even close to that. Now, he did eclipse the 100 mark in runs and RBIs. And he also got you 24 home runs and 26 stolen bases. So, I mean, really, a five-tool player. His walks went way up, but his average went down to 264, which is very bad. And when you look at Mookie Betts' stats, really, the 2016 year looks like a complete outlier. He's not going to get you 200 hits again. He's probably going to get you over 100 runs, but just because JD is there, he could get you over 100 RBIs. I think he'll get about 105. His stolen bases, probably about 25. So he's still going to get you a lot, and he's worth a top 10 pick, but don't expect him to be batting 300 or anything close to that. If he batted 300, then he would be probably the number one player in fantasy. But because of that, and his on-base percentage is going to go about the same this year, but his on-base percentage isn't going to be near what it was in 2016. It's not going to be as good. I also see a drop in his walks as well. So his average should go up, but it's not going to be about 300. I think it'll be about 280 to 285. So that's about as high as you're going to get Mookie Betts. And honestly, he could do worse than that. It would not surprise me at all if he was a bust this year and it's a mistake to take him in the top 10. Now we're going to move on to players 11 through 20. So we're going to start off with 11, which is Carlos Correa. Then we have Freddie Freeman, Max Scherzer, Joey Votto, Aaron Judge, Anthony Rizzo, Manny Machado, Chris Sale, Corey Kluber, and then Giancarlo Stanton at number 20. We're going to get to him in just a second, but first I want to address a little situation we have going on here, which is Chris Sale versus Corey Kluber. I've heard this debate 1,000 times, and I'm going with Chris Sale for one simple fact. Chris Sale is going to be healthy. Corey Kluber and anyone else in the Indians organization that is pitching is an injury risk. That's how it has been for years. Chris Sale is going to get you 30 starts. He's going to get you 15 to 20 wins. And his strikeout rate last year eclipsed 300. He had 308 strikeouts. His ERA was about 290, and his whip was about 0.97, which, when you follow Corey Kluber, their innings pitch was very close, as he had 203. Sale had 17 wins. Kluber had 18. Kluber also had 265 strikeouts. Nothing to sneeze at. We always see him at the top of the strikeout rate. And his ERA is where he made his name. That's where he got the Cy Young at, which was 225. And his whip at 0.87. But I expect a raise in the ERA. I expect a raise in the whip. And I don't see him getting 200 innings, because he's probably going to get injured. And over a full season, even if they're both healthy, I still take Sale because of the strikeouts, and everything else is going to be about similar. And, I mean, the run production for each team is going to be about the same, probably a little higher for the Red Sox. I think they've got a little better lineup. But there's still some stellar players on Cleveland's team that are going to help Corey Kluber out with the run production. But overall, I see Sale just ahead of Kluber, and he'll be the number three pitcher this year as far as my projections go. Now we have number 20, Giancarlo Stanton. And this is going to surprise some people, because a lot of places have Stanton in the top 10 I've seen, but mainly in the top 15. I have him at 20 because he is a bust candidate. Most people don't realize that Giancarlo Stanton, one, his power is overrated, and two, he's a career 268 average hitter. Which, granted, with his perceived power, especially that he had last year, many people think that's still going to be great. But when you look at his career, his 162-game home run average, which is if he played every single game in the season, his average is only 44 home runs. Drastically below the expected home run rate of Giancarlo Stanton. He has also only eclipsed 100 runs one time in his career, which was last year. He's an injury risk because many times he hasn't played near the full season. And last year's RBI total was complete outlier because it was 27 runs higher than his previous career high. That is absurd. Seeing him being taken 10 to 15 is a big chance for a bust. Taking him at about 20 is a little bit safer, although I'd try to stay away from him overall, or I'd draft him around 20 and deal him right afterwards. Because Giancarlo Stanton is not as good as people think he is. I've got him at 20 because that's the safe place to put him. He's going to be in New York this year. He's got Judge. He's got Sanchez. If Bird works out, then that's great. But really, it's about as good as his lineup was last year, besides them having Judge, which is also a bust candidate. But it doesn't really seem like, even if he's as good as he was last year, I don't think his RBIs or anything are going to go up with him being in New York. So that's actually going to do it for this episode. Again, look up online, you know, look up on YouTube, the Fantasy Sport Hideout. And on the next episode, we're going to go through players 21 through 50 and some news and other stuff. So be sure to join us later this week. Thank you for joining, and I will see you later at the Hideout.